they begin to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
We look down a river and we see the British come, and there must have been 100 of them beating on the drum. They stepped so high and they made the bugles ring. We stood beside our cotton bales and didn't say.
Hey, welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Still to come on the program today, Jefferson County Republican Party Chairman Paul DeMarco from WVN, my old colleague Dale Jackson will be with us, and we close it all out in the 11 o'clock hour, State Representative Matt Simpson. So please stay tuned for that. Next up on the program, always a pleasure to bring on this next guest, a very, very kind to me in my early days of radio, Congressman Bradley Byrne is on the line with us. Congressman, how are you this morning?
I'm doing very well, Jeff. Hope you are.
Hanging in there, I guess. Let's get caught up on some things here. I think Hurricane Sally, a lot of people's minds still as they pick up the parts and pieces from the storm. Are things moving along in generally a good direction, do you think?
I think so. As of Friday, the numbers were that we've already had 43,000 people from Baldwin, Escambia, and Mobile County request individual assistance. And this early on, they've already put out $17.5 million to people, and this is early on, so there'll be a lot more money coming out from there. Getting pretty good response from the National Flood Insurance Program, and believe it or not, even SBA is beginning to put out money down here. So from a federal point of view, I got to say FEMA's done everything that I've asked them to do and everything the state's asked them to do, and they've done it pretty timely.
You've been through these storms before. It's just my impression, based on just a number of things, that the recovery effort for Hurricane Sally, it seems to be moving a little bit along a little bit better than maybe past storms had.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. This is a much better, much quicker, more effective response than we had to Ivan, which is the last really major storm that we had to deal with. We had a lot of flooding from Katrina, but the wind and storm damage really was worse with Ivan. So I'm pretty pleased with it. I was the state senator for Baldwin County when Ivan came across, and I think we improved both the pre-storm and post-storm actions. Now, nothing's ever perfect. It's a hurricane, after all. But I think they've done pretty well at all three levels, state, federal, and the local level, and I'm very pleased with it.
Yeah, because, you know, that's typically the knock on a lot of these, is the federal response has been lacking. And we just figured out how to handle these things better than we have in the past? Is it that we've done the fire drill so many times, not just here in Alabama, but around the country, that now there's a plan in place and no one's ever caught flat-footed like they had been? It seemed like it would happen every so often in the past.
Yeah, I think so. Unfortunately, practice makes perfect, and we have way too much practice here. I got to say, my first request to the White House was that they send the FEMA administrator here in person, and that he spent, you know, real quality time looking at things around here and talking to local and state officials. They did that. He responded. We got the post-storm declaration in record time. And as I say, everything I've asked of them, they've been doing. They've set up all these mobile centers for people to come to have some help in registering for individual assistance, and we've got those all over the district right now. So I'm pleased with that, and I'm pleased with the response that people are getting.
Did you imagine, here we are in the middle of an election cycle, and you're just the brief last few months of your term here, that you would be handling yet another one of these crises?
I don't know what it is about this year, but we seem to be dealing with crisis after crisis, and I'm praying that this latest thing that's out there in the Gulf will stay away from us. We've already had our storm for the year. But that's part of the job, and you know, when you sign up for the job, you got to understand that you got to deal with these things, and you got to deal with these things all the way through the end of your term.
Congressman, let's move on to some other things. As I mentioned, the election cycle, this whole weird cycle, it's just one surprise after another. What you think is going to be, just from my perspective as a journalist, what you think is going to be the big newsmaker of the day, and then something else happens, it throws that completely off, and you're really caught, like, not really knowing what any of this means. This this diagnosis for the president, it sounds like they're very optimistic about his recovery, but, you know, what do you think this does? What do you think this means, other than, you know, obviously we want Trump to get better, but with the election looming, does it? Do you think it has an impact?
Well, it only has an impact in this sense. The national news media needs something new every week to beat on with him, because after they beat on him with something for a while, it kind of loses its potency. And so they're going to beat on him now with this, saying, oh, if he had followed what all the public health professionals said about wearing a mask, if he hadn't done outdoor rallies, da-da-da-da-da, then he wouldn't have gotten sick and all these people around him would have gotten sick. That's what it does. It just gives them something new to try to use against him. But I haven't seen, looking at state-by-state polls, and that's what I look at this point in the election. You know, this is not a popular vote election. This is a state-by-state electoral college vote. Now, I haven't seen yet any appreciable change in the state polls. And so I think this is probably another one of those media things that they're making a big deal of. Now, we're all concerned about the president, obviously, and about other people around the president who've gotten this disease. But it sounds like he's getting good treatment at Walter Reed. Those are incredibly good folks there. I've just been so impressed with them. And, you know, I'm expecting to make a full recovery, and I hope he gets back out in a position where he can campaign as soon as possible.
Well, you're right about the way the media portray it, but at this point, no matter what he does, I feel like the media are going to have some gripe or something to complain about. My only critique of what's transpired, it just they never seem to be quite on the same page with what was going on, which is, you know, chaotic and the way things are right now, fine. But did you ever fear that, you know, the country was in jeopardy, that a rogue actor would seize on this opportunity? Do you think that fear has been overplayed, or what's your assessment?
Absolutely, I think it's been overplayed. The president is awake, he's alert, his mental faculties are all there. The entire national security apparatus is intact. I can tell you that. We had a hearing last week, so I know what's going on there. You know, any, quote, rogue actor or some, you know, adversary of the United States to try to take advantage of what will probably be a brief period of time that the president has symptoms of this disease would be truly making a huge mistake. So, and I don't see any indication of that, by the way. Nothing out there would show me that something like that's about to happen. So I'm not worried about that at all. And I'm not worried about the president's ability to make decisions across the board. It sounds like he's doing that just fine, even though he is in the hospital. And he's not the first president of the United States to go into the hospital. I mean, this has happened several times before, and, you know, the country keeps on clicking. The truth of the matter is we have institutions in place to make sure this stuff continues to operate. And I'm not worried about those institutions breaking down. They're pretty strong, pretty firm. We continue to be the great country we are.
Joined by Congressman Bradley Byrne from down here in Alabama's 1st Congressional District. Congressman, something some of your colleagues have brought up in media reports, Capitol Hill, and then, you know, you have senators diagnosed with COVID-19, that the protocols there on Capitol Hill are not what they could be, and even your colleague Steve Scalise says, well it's partially due because Pelosi is rejected several testing proposals. What exactly is that protocol? When you go up there, do you get tested? Do they take your temperature? How does that work to prevent the spread among you and your colleagues and your staff?
Well, they don't test us unless we have symptoms or unless we've been exposed to somebody with the disease. So we don't get tested unless you fall into one of those categories. So I can't just walk in an attending physician's office and say, test me. They won't do it. And they don't take our temperatures. They do, however, have a pretty significant regimen of cleaning constantly. We're all required to wear a mask everywhere we go. And we're limited in how many people from our staffs are supposed to be in the offices with us and how we're distanced out in our offices. And we have nobody from outside the Hill that are actually in any of those buildings. We don't have any visitors, no lobbyists, or nothing like that. The hallways are pretty empty. So I don't feel in any way unsafe when I go up there. I feel like it's as safe as you can make it. I do think the speaker has made a mistake in rejecting these instant tests that are so available now, because there may be instances where I haven't necessarily been exposed or I don't have any symptoms, where maybe we just need to be checking me on something like a regular basis. But they don't do it, and that's the way it is. It's our decision. You get to control those things.
It does seem peculiar. You know, we could question Pelosi on a lot of things, but the party that is really trying to make COVID a political issue, particularly with presidential politics, that there's a rejection, or that they're not as willing to put in place these instant tests. Is there beginning justification given, or any care to theorize on why?
Well, originally, she rejected it because months ago, you know, there weren't that many tests available, and she didn't want tests to be used on members of Congress when they were needed more badly in other places. And I could understand that then, but now we have a wide distribution of tests in the United States. We have these instant tests that can be given, and I don't know why she wouldn't do it. Now, we're not there for another 6 weeks, so there's no need to have it for the next 6 weeks. But when we return in the middle of November, you know, as flu season is kicking off, strikes me that she ought to make those tests available, particularly for anybody who has an underlying health condition or who's over 65.
And with these, the guys on the Senate side, and I'm sure there's members of the House as well, contracting, I mean, like, it's kind of like everything in D.C., you have people converging from all 50 states coming together. You don't know where they've been, and like, yeah, granted, we're 6 weeks away until you guys return, but just given what we know now, wouldn't it behoove the speaker to put in some kind of a requirement, or am I overthinking this?
Oh, I think she should allow for the testing. I don't know any more rigorous protocols we could have on, you know, how many people get to come into our buildings and spacing and masks and cleaning and all that. I'm not too worried about my colleagues. I'm really not. Everybody seems to be doing what they need to be doing. Heck, I mean, you know, I'm sitting on an airplane between here and Washington. Sometimes it's direct, sometimes it's not. Sometimes I'm sitting very near people. I don't know who the heck they are, but the airlines are taking appropriate precautions. I don't feel threatened being on the airlines. So, I think we need to keep doing our thing as a country. And, you know, I made this distinction last week between a state like New York and a state like Alabama. Alabama's reopened without a spike, and our economy is doing far better than the New York State economy. Maybe if we got more to appropriately precautions but get back to normal, maybe that'd be better for everybody.
Congressman, let's move on. One more thing here before we let you go. Supreme Court nomination up, Justice Barrett going before the Senate. Do you? What's your feelings on the pick? Do you like the pick? And what do you think it's as a big a deal as it's being portrayed?
Well, I like the pick very much. She was my choice over Judge Kavanaugh, frankly, last time, although I'm a big supporter of Judge Kavanaugh. She has a superb background. She is as well credentialed as I think you can get to be a Supreme Court justice. The only knock on her at all is her faith views, particularly with regard to abortion. And I think they're going to really pick at her over a decision that she participated in as a member of the Seventh Circuit dealing with Obamacare. But, you know, I think they've got the votes to confirm her. I think she'll be confirmed. I think she'll be confirmed before Thanksgiving, if not before the election. And she'll be the ninth justice on the Supreme Court, which starts meeting today with just eight justices. At the time that she goes on the court, it'll be six Republican-nominated justices and only three Democrats. And replacing Ruth Bader Ginsburg with Judge Barrett is a huge shift. I mean, there's really just a dramatic difference in their judicial philosophy. So it's a big deal. And I want her to be thoroughly vetted. Don't get me wrong. I think the Senate should do what they do. But over the course of the history of this country, the average of the days between nomination and confirmation is 45 days or less. So there's nothing wrong with the speed that the Senate's using on this. That's actually the way it's normally done.
Do you worry about, well, if Democrats do get control in January, that we would see a court packing effort or what they call court reform, that would be the fallout from this?
I think they will try. I don't know that they'll be successful. A number of Democratic senators have said that they're opposed to it. The last time it was tried, as everybody knows from their school textbooks, when Franklin Roosevelt was president, and it backfired on him politically, and I think it will backfire on the Democrats. So I think some of them are appropriately wary about it. And while I know they're going to try, I have some doubts about whether they'll actually succeed.
Congressman, we're out of time. We've got to leave it there. But thank you so much for coming on this morning.
Always great to be with you, Jeff.
That was Congressman Bradley Byrd, Alabama's 1st Congressional District. Got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.